Excuse me here. So the purpose of my message this morning is to inspire us to have an open heart and to look honestly at our hearts. And now I'd like to look at a little different thing here almost. When you think of looking at your heart with an open heart and to look at your heart honestly, there comes a problem known to all mankind. And the problem is that most people are not able to look at their hearts accurately. We all have a trouble with that. Searching our own hearts is a very difficult task because naturally there is something in our minds, in our brains, in our human mind that restricts us from being able to see our own hearts accurately. Author Andrew Womack, he has a book about the heart, and he says the reason is because we are hard-hearted, which I think is right, but I also think that the root problem is pride. And God created within each of our minds, he created each person this way, something that allows us to be able to see our hearts. And depending on how we energize that little something that God created, maybe we'll call that something a device. God created this device that's in our minds and or in our brains. And depending on how we energize that device is how we can, whether we're allowed to see our own hearts or not. And let's say that we energize that device, or that device is, if we are proud, we have a lot of pride, we're not willing to humble ourselves, that little device in our mind is energized with pride. And when it becomes energized with pride, it will justify everything about when we look at our own hearts. All it does is just comes up with self-justification about our own problems and our own things. And it'll justify everything that, all the things that other people can clearly see about us that is not quite right, our mind, that little thing will justify it in our own mind. It'll say it's okay. We have a reason for it. And I think the people who crucified Jesus had this problem. And I believe I have it. And I believe each one of you have it too. This little mind device is created by God for a good reason. But when pride is giving it its energy, a person can't see his or her heart properly. If it's being energized by humility, the same device allows a person to see their own heart more accurately. And when this device is energized by pride, it builds up a wall that distorts truth and causes a person to think defensively. When it's energized with humility, it receives truth about our own heart. And instead of self-justification, this device promotes honesty and openness to acknowledge the things about our heart that are hard to admit. I think of the Titanic captain. He was told truth. He was told it honestly, forthright. Clearly he was told truth. But he wouldn't believe that it was true until he was knee-high in water himself. So that's what happens to us when we have pride and that little device in our minds. Even though we are told, we have all the information there that's for us to show us what we need to do different, what we need to change in our heart. But yet, we'll justify it all out until, you know, it's too late. We get way off track. So if we really want to see our heart like God would see it, then we just have to humble ourselves. And I know that's really easy to say, and it's the right thing to say, but even in my own life, I know how hard it is. So the first and most important step for a person to take in examining our own hearts is to be humble. Put on humility. Proverbs, it says, before honor is humility. And I think of this psalm, I'm going to read this psalm here shortly, but when David wrote the psalm, Search Me, O God, I believe he had a humble heart. A person can't tell God to search our hearts or search my heart unless they for sure are humble and sincere. And looking at our spiritual heart is like looking at our physical hearts. We don't really know what condition our physical heart is until we get a number of special tests done. Then we can tell if we have a good heart or a bad heart. And it's the same for our spiritual hearts. We can't see if it's good or bad with our own eyes. It takes special tests. It takes the Holy Spirit with a humble heart to be able to tell what condition our spiritual heart truly is. Many people die early because they don't take care of their hearts, and I think it goes along with physically and spiritually. And I was speaking to a man who came into our office, and he was sharing with me some of his experiences and that he has had in his life. And he said in his younger days, years, people would approach him and tell him that he had a real alcohol problem. You need to change that. And he would always say, yeah, I drink a little, but it's not really a problem. And he got himself in a lot of trouble and did a lot of stupid things. But he really couldn't see his problem. In his own words, he said, it's hard to see your own problems. And if you look around in the world, and people that are not even Christians, they have a terrible time to see what really is going on in their own hearts and lives. It's very hard to see. And again, it's pride that gets in the way. We need humility if we really are serious about searching our own hearts or examining our own lives. Most people are blinded to their own needs that their heart has. And it takes the Holy Spirit to show us if we allow the Holy Spirit to work. The Holy Spirit cannot work with a proud heart. In 1 Peter 5:5, it says, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And I think that that's real easy for us to see that. It's real easy for us to read that. Real easy for me to say it. But when it comes to really looking at my own heart, to really humbling myself so God actually can work, I think that is really hard for each of us. That's really hard for us to really be able to do that in the way that we should. But for a scripture text, I would like to read Psalm 139, if you'd like to turn there with me. This is not exactly to the point of what this message is about, but this is where David said, search me, O God. And he says it at the very beginning. He says at the very beginning that, God, you have done this. And then at the very last of the chapter, he says it again. And this chapter really brings out how ridiculous it is for us to think that even if we don't allow God to search it, even if we don't humble ourselves, how ridiculous we really are. Psalms 139, I'll read that. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as a day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. And then David says this, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. He's saying that, look at my heart, test me, try me out, see if there's any wicked way in me, and then if you find that wicked way, help me to accept it and help me go another direction. Help me go the right direction, I think is what David is saying there. This chapter is David acknowledging to God that God knows his heart. He acknowledges that because God created man, he understands humanity completely. There is nothing about us that God does not know. There is nothing that we have ever thought about that God does not know. He knows every thought that we have ever had. God knows and understands why we do what we do. And this chapter is very encouraging because we see that God is with us in that he understands us. David is telling God that because he knows all these things about his heart, that he knows that God can show him what is right about his heart or what is wrong. What is right about the words that he says or what is wrong about him. Or his own thinking. In the last two verses then, David came back and told God again that because you know all these things and you see them clearly, I'm asking you, God, to show me what you see in my own heart. And this is an example of what each of us needs to do with our own hearts. This chapter is very familiar, and we all agree with this prayer, but I think because it is so familiar that we easily miss applying it to our personal lives like we should. Sometimes in our lives we face situations that give us a glimpse of eternity, which cause us to take a closer look at our hearts. But how can we learn to search our hearts honestly and openly when eternity seems far away, when everything is good? I believe that we go by feeling much more than we realize. And if our hearts don't feel bad, we are oblivious to how our hearts really are. And we need to remind ourselves that the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what Jeremiah says. We can tell God that we agree with these verses, but still feel that our heart is okay. So we can't go by what we feel like. And we maybe have lived a good life. We maybe don't feel that our heart is deceitful. It's very hard to see our own hearts accurately. Therefore, we have to, by faith, believe that our heart is deceitful, because the Bible says so. God says so. So if you ask God to search your heart, I believe God will do it. If you're sincere, if you honestly want God to search your heart, God will search your heart. And the best way to let God know that you actually believe this is by when he shows you something, to be honest with yourself. Don't be like the captain on the Titanic that said, no, it's not true. It can't be true. I'm not that way. Don't do that. When God shows you, when we ask God to search our hearts and he shows us, then we need to accept that test. And we need to allow it in our lives so that he actually can change us. He actually can redirect us. David said, try me and see if there be a wicked way. One of the ways God can try you is maybe he'll allow you to be tempted or tested. You know, it's no different than any other part of our lives. If we ask God to search our heart, it will cost us something. But the results of allowing that search to go on is very beneficial for eternity. It's just that the here and now, it's very hard and hard to accept sometimes. We don't want to take what we have to take. We don't want to listen to what we have to listen to. We don't want to. It's just too much. Sometimes what we find is so hard to accept. And we're tempted to say, I'm not willing to open my heart that wide. I can't do it. Because we all know that God is serious, if we're serious. We all know that He will answer our prayer if we have that humble heart and will go that far with Him. And we invite Him in. We invite Him in, leaving no restrictions on when or how often or how long. So we ask God to search and make ourselves completely available to search. And I agree, I know that it's very scary to do this. For me, it is. Because I'm worried that what I might find or what He might show me. And sometimes it's really embarrassing what He will show me. Or really, really surprising. We often secretly hope that God will find our heart in a good condition and that He won't find anything. But I've never, you know, every time that I've really seriously opened my heart up, God has always shown me something. And I know that sometimes it's very hard to accept and take and do and change, but I believe that that it's very important, and God will bless us for it. He will bless each of us for being willing to have an open and honest heart when it comes to searching our heart or any time. You know, we need to, we might ask God what He thinks of our, in a more practical sense, we might ask God, what do you think about my actions? The things I do and how I treat other people? Or what do you think of my thoughts? You know, really look at my thought life. Or ask God to help us hear ourselves. If we could just hear how we sound or the things that we say or to other people or the things that we talk about other people. If we could just hear what that sounds and put that in and hear that, maybe, you know, ask God to show us that. I know that many times God shows me that, and I have to repent again. Or is there envy and jealousy in my heart? Or bitterness? Do we allow a little bit, some back corner that we don't really forgive someone? Like, because it's just too hard. They did too much to us. Or are we willing to give up our wants and wishes sacrificially for the kingdom of God, for the church, for someone who needs help? You know, it just, there's so much. Is there a lack of self-discipline in our lives? And, you know, sometimes we just want to hang out and let things go, and we don't want to be disciplined. We just want to be lazy. And when we search our hearts, when we ask God to search our hearts, He shows us these kinds of things. Or a husband, what kind of husband am I? And, you know, God will, He will show you that kind of thing. Or the wife, what kind of wife am I? Or if you're a youth or a child, you know, He will show you if you're honoring your parents or not. He will show you if you're treating each other with respect and kindness. And, you know, this list goes on and on. There are many, many things, because we're human and our flesh is weak, even if our spirit is willing. There's so many things that God can show us in our hearts, and we continually have to leave our hearts open. And if we've had a closed heart for a long time, it's even scarier to open it up. It's even, we know the risk is much higher because we haven't had it open for a long time. And we've had pride in our life. We haven't been humble for a long time. And then it gets worse. So, you know, if we can do this on a daily process, I think it keeps us much closer to God and much more in tune. But I'd just like to summarize this up a little bit in closing. And, you know, we could go and state many more issues and things that God might show us and in ways that we can humble ourselves, and also ways that we can get our hearts to be more open and honest. But I guess I just want to encourage us with these words for as we go through this week, to let's test our hearts and minds. Let's be willing to do it to see if we have pure hearts. Let's humble ourselves so God can actually show us. Let's take that leap of faith and humble ourselves and open our hearts up wide. And when He shows us, let's be honest. Let's not let's not try to justify ourselves. Let's just be honest. Let it all open and let him come in. And let's all acknowledge that, yes, we have sinned. We have done this. We have been this way. And repent. Let's not hang on to it. So when we come to the communion table next Sunday evening, that we truly can enjoy participating, and that we have a pure heart and an honest love for Jesus that will make the experience of sharing in communion, of breaking the bread and taking the cup, it'll make it a much more wonderful experience for us, because we will really have a better perspective of what Jesus has done for us. And we won't be doing it unworthily. We'll be doing it because we know that he loves us and that he has done so much for us. I think that the thing that the devil does to us is he tricks us into thinking that we don't have pride, and that these problems that we deal with because of our closed heart are not that big. And they might not be big, but even the little ones can cause us a lot of grief in our lives and cause us to lose our love for Jesus and what he has really done for us when he died for us on the cross. So I'll just leave you with that. Maybe we'll have a word of prayer. Bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you.